Ready spaghetti. Ready spaghetti.
I didn't actually check the levels before we...
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
Before we started.
Mate, even Jim just fucking hoofed ya. Even Jim just went, idiot. Oh, mate, you just made a weird sound.
Yeah, there's something going on with him this morning.
Yeah, what is it, you reckon? How was he on his walk?
He was fine.
Did he do a poo?
Yeah.
We?
Yep.
What's going on with him then?
I don't know. You just look. Look at his little face.
Jimmy, you okay? I mean, the sound he made was like, do you reckon he's in pain somewhere?
Everything's fine.
That's good. That's good that everything's fine. That's good.
Everything's fine.
Everything's good for you.
Go back to sleep,
if
listeners.
If it doesn't kill you, Everton is good for you.
Hey, do you know we've got listeners under the age of 22 now, according to Spotify?
Diabolical.
I mean, I don't know what you losers are doing listening to our podcast. Go out and get drunk. Take drugs. Fuck somebody. What are you doing listening to us
Mate,
for?
Because we're fucking cool. Oh, yeah. Jimmy's having sex with the toy again. Jimmy, put that. Is his red rocket out? Oh, God. No, it's not.
No.
He just sits there suckling. Look, he's sucking on it.
He's just canoodling. Maybe he just feels a bit...
Hey, I'm just canoodling. I'm just canoodling. That's me.
What have you been watching when I'm not here, bub?
What am I watching? All of the best things. Rewatching everything. What was I been watching? I rewatched, a documentary called Aftershock about the Nepalese... earthquake, and it follows like three different stories of what happened. Like, so there was a terrible avalanche on Mount Everest at the same, you know, time, and then they follow the story of this little town, little Nepalese town way up in the mountains, and it was like these three Israeli guys were traveling and they were passing through, and then the earthquake happened and that town was kind of obliterated. And they were kind of stuck there and had to wait for, like, the army to come and rescue them, like a town of, like, 80 people, you know?
I don't know what I've been to. Did they sing that when they came in?
No, the Israeli.
Mount Everest is really cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was off the top of my head. That's pretty fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Israeli Defense Force were there?
No, they were, like, on a break from...
genocide?
They were on a break. We were on a break.
We were on a break.
They were on a break from being in the bloody blah, the army.
The Mardi Gras.
The army. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Sorry, Jim. I don't know why Wikipedia's being fucked. Anyway, and then there was so there was a bunch of people stuck on Camp 2 on Everest. And the avalanche kind of missed them a little bit, but it was really hard for them to get down because the Kumbul icefall, all the ropes and ladders were set up, but the avalanche went through that, and it's like impossible to get through that without the proper ladders and stuff. And the avalanche actually kind of made it all the way to base camp. Like, there's footage, like, people actually had, because people, you know, have GoPros footage, like, there's someone, you know, IMAX doing an interview, and they're like, what the hell is that?
Someone's doing a Twitch stream.
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. Yes, that's exactly what's happening. And all of a sudden, they just stop and go,
there's a live cam girl there. Thank you, Big Daddy. Thank you for the coin. Okay, you want me to suck my own toes? Okay, thanks, Giant Cock 69.
Anyway, so... And yeah, so they follow a few different stories. And then one of the stories they follow is this girl, she survived her house falling down, like, you know, a poor civilian. And, you know, she managed to get out of her house. Her whole family was in the house with her and they're all dead because they all, you know, the earthquake. And then really quickly, in the best possible way, international relief.
Right.
There's a lot of issues with the government in Nepal, because, you know, Everest is such a poor country, a lot of poverty, and Everest is their moneymaker. So they make a lot of money off people coming to Everest, and these poor, I think I've
talked about this before. They shake their moneymaker.
Sorry?
They shake their moneymaker.
What does that mean?
You called Everest the moneymaker, so I said they shake their moneymaker.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
Fucking hell.
It's so hard to yes and when I don't hear it properly.
Fuck.
It's so hard to yes and when I don't hear the joke properly.
Yeah, well, that's the first thing they teach you at improv school, isn't it? To listen.
But I'm talking.
Yeah, well, you got a bit. Well, supposedly, you can do everything at once.
I think you can't listen.
What?
Anyway, long story short, her brother was found alive underneath the rubble. All her family died. And there's this amazing, amazing footage of, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain parts of, like, UNICEF, Red Cross, I don't fucking know. They all just turn, like, people just turn up. Like, all of a sudden, you've got all these, like, British, Australians, like, proper army guys. They're just, like, there. And they're, like, and they had dogs with them that could smell, like, that are used to, like, finding people in rubble.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy, I think he was Aussie, and he was just like, everyone, shut up, quiet. Like, just.
The footy's on.
Yeah, probably. but they're, like, standing on rubble, and there's hundreds of people around that are just, like, basically lifting up rock at a time mm-hmm. to, like, try and save people.
Mm.
And this dog kind of was hovering under the area, and this guy just, like, no megaphone or anything, just, like, shut up, quiet. Like, just, like, and then you just, the footage, just everyone, 100 people in the street. Like, it's just dead quiet, and you see the dog.
And then you just and then hear. You see, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da.
No. Anyway, the dog started barking, which means that there's someone alive.
Right. Cool. And then beautiful he was saved. Footage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the whole, you know, series is about, because it's hard to get him out. It was a race against time because he'd already been trapped for a few days, and it was incredible. Just like when you just see, like, it's just dead quiet, and then just like the dog. Just footy, just watching the dog, and then just the tension, and you just, roof, roof. You're like, fuck. It's brilliant. It's good. It's called Aftershocks.
This is Should We Just Watch It Real Quick? I am your host, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to Everest School to be called a hill. Thank you very much. And joining me in the blue corner is the Raging Cajun. She's the woman with all the spooning.
Fuck you.
She's the burping tornado. She is Kelly Big Whoop. Want to fight about it? I'll fucking knock your block off for Stuka.
What did you watch this week?
Porn.
No, you didn't.
Nah, I don't watch porn.
You don't watch
porn?
I have
next to no libido since I've hit my 40s. I don't know what
don't
happened.
Don't tell people that we're getting married.
Yeah, it's just like. I said next to no. Especially in comparison to when I was a teenager. Jesus Christ. Anyway, that's way too
Why
much information.
Are you telling people?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? What is wrong with you?
We've watched a few episodes of Welcome to Wrexham Season 2, which we've sort of been, I don't know about you, but it's, I wouldn't call it a slog, but it has sort of felt a bit like work this season. There's a lot of other shit and not much of the football club being presented. And then we finally got an episode about the football club, and they've gone off and signed this goalkeeper from the Premier League who's come out of retirement, who is a twat. And something clicked in my brain where I was like, oh, these guys aren't underdogs anymore. I don't care. I think the success of the first season was that they really got you invested in the town, warts and all. And there were some people who you loved and some people you didn't love, but it didn't matter because you were getting to know this town. You were getting to know Wrexham, right?
Mm.
And then the other half of the episode would be the football club and what was happening at the club and, like, rebuilding the facilities and getting the right people into the right jobs and blah, blah, blah. And they've done that now. So now it's just like, and they don't show you much of the town either. Like, every now and then you get a reaction from, like, the guy owns the pub or the loudmouth guy who's gotten sober or the two little grannies who meet for coffee every morning.
Mm.
But that's it. You don't really you know, they had one episode about the female captain and another episode about their number one fan who's got autism and stuff like that. But really, this season to me has felt like an ad more than a documentary. It feels like it's an ad for Wrexham. It's like a lot of these sports documentaries where it's like it tricks you into thinking that you're watching some behind the scenes thing, but really it's exactly what they want you to see, and it's all in a very positive light. And I don't know. I mean, I will watch the end of the second season because I'm committed to it, and I would like to see the guys in the town have some success. Like, I would like to see the reactions to that. I think that would be really fulfilling. And then I'll probably walk away from the show, I think, because it really is now like they have such an advantage over all of their competition that, and just because of who Ryan and Rob are, they're going to succeed. Because money talks in European football and bullshit walks. And they've
money talks.
And if they don't have the money.
Money talks. Dirty cash, I want you. Dirty cash, I need you.
I don't know what that song is. If they don't get the...
We're just fucking blocking everyone's jokes.
If they don't get the... What? Oh,
like, I was blocking your jokes before. Now you're blocking mine.
I don't know what the song is. Anyway, if the guys don't get the money, they can, you know, they can go to fucking Jay-Z, or they can go, you know what I mean? They can go to Dr. Dre, or like it just feels like, oh, well, we don't need to worry about Wrexham ever again, because as long as Rob and Ryan are there, they'll be fine, you know? So they're not going to, because it's too much of a revenue source for the club to keep them front and center and all that sort of thing. But really, if they succeed in getting promoted at the end of this season, it should be the end of the TV show. Because I don't think there's much more. They're struggling to fill episodes as it is.
I think that's what it is. I really feel like, because you're saying it's an ad, but I honestly think that the first season went so well that they said, let's make, you know, that was what, 6 episodes or whatever. Let's make 16 episodes and really draw it out. But, you know, we're promoting the town. We're helping the town. We're doing this. I mean, if I were one of the other teams that was like, you know, first, second, or third in that same league, I'd be pissed because they're in the same situation. They're poor. They're relying on the town to really back them.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And I feel bad because they're just paying for extra people and like obviously barreling down the fucking, you know, pitch to win and stuff. And I just feel bad because Wrexham is one of many teams that was struggling. But yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. I don't think Rob and Ryan are bad dudes, really. Like, I think they're good guys who have the right intentions, and they have done really well for the town and the team and stuff. But yes, my mind keeps moving towards the other teams in that division and below them, or even the clubs that are in the division above them who don't have the resources that they do.
Yeah.
You know, like, the way Wrexham are going, and I'm not a football expert by any stretch of the imagination, but it feels like they'll be in the league in the championship, which is like Division 1 and 2, in a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
You know, and then it becomes a multi-million dollar business, and Ryan and Rob make their money back. You know what I mean? And that, like, you'll never have to worry. Once you sort of get into being in and around the Premier League, you know, they'll make good money. Anyway, so it's, I don't know, a lot of stuff on Disney Plus that started out quite promising and I'm sort of struggling to get through. I am trying to watch the last episode of Asuka
and
I keep falling asleep. I mean, putting it on. Well, I just want to finish it. You know what I mean? I would say the second half of this season has become really like, what's happening? Who's like, I mean, I know what's happening, but it's like, there were two main bad guys, and then sort of halfway through the season, the baton was passed over to these two other bad guys. And it's like, well, you've built up these villains for 4 episodes, and now you've just introduced this other new villain. Why am I meant to care? It would be the equivalent of like having Darth Vader as the villain for the first half of the season and then him sort of just disappearing and then the Emperor being the, you know? I really, and again, I'm a massive Star Wars, well, sort of diminishing returns as far as my fandom with Star Wars. But I love Star Wars. I still really like Star Wars. I didn't hate the new sequels. I thought they were pretty good. But I'm obsessed with the first three. And like whenever there has been, you know, I read Star Wars novels when I was a kid, you know what I mean? Like a real fucking uber nerd because I just wanted more Star Wars. But I'm at the point now where like unless you do a story that has nothing to do with the Skywalker saga, I'm bored. Because we're now like scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, well, Ahsoka was Anakin's Padawan and this is about her and her Padawans and you know what I mean? It just like... It just like I need to see something different in this. You know, with Star Trek, when they have a new season, it's a completely new crew and a new ship and they're doing, like, they're kind of doing the same sort of missions, but at least you've got a different cast of people and you can introduce different villains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The reason why the first season of The Mandalorian was interesting is because we were looking at a completely different race of people in a completely different style. Yeah. It was like a Western kind of TV show.
I feel like it's everything's much of a muchness.
It's a shame because Ahsoka started off well. And I think, again, like, I don't think it needed to be 8 episodes. I think it could have been 4. Like a length of a movie. It could have been a movie. It could have been an hour and a half movie and it would have been
That's the problem. And we talked about this a lot. A lot of the stuff we're watching should have been a movie.
Yeah. Or a two-part miniseries or something.
Two episodes at 70 minutes each or whatever.
Yeah.
2 episodes or a movie. It's like they're dragging things out, and I know why. It's because this is the issue with the streaming service kind of coming, taking over everything. Is that everything? It's like, all right, we'll make a TV show. Because the thing is, they're probably making these TV shows for the same amount of budget that it was for a movie anyway. But they're figuring out ways to like really draw it out more.
Yeah.
So people are watching, you know, Netflix more. Everything should have been a movie. Everything. And then there's other shows that are a movie where I'm like, fuck, I would love this as a TV show because I didn't explore it enough.
But I'd rather be left wanting more than going, all right, enough. There's just so much in Ahsoka of like just a step, like they move to a different world and then they're a step, like the last 3 episodes, Ahsoka and her 2 little buddies who are like from the Rebels cartoon show, and I understand that was a big hit, and so fans of that would love to see real-life versions of this. But they've been on the same planet for like 3 episodes, just tracking along the planet. And like, surely someone at some point was like...
It's boring.
Should we fucking cut from here? And
it's
you
boring.
Know?
It's they should have...
There's just no editing going on, and that's... Anyway.
Well, so, speaking of no editing...
What?
Masters of the Air. Want to talk about that?
We'll talk about the shows that we watched this week. You want to talk about your piece of shit show first or you want to talk about the good show?
No, I spoke about Masters of Air first.
All right.
Brilliant.
5 grumps. Kelly, what did you think?
I just thought Masters of Air. So it's about...
Masters of the Air.
Of the Air. It's about a bunch of bloody dudes who are flying planes during World War II.
Not just dudes.
I'm just like,
they're not just dudes.
I'm like, you know what? I've watched Pearl Harbor. I know how this goes.
They're the American reinforcements towards the end of the Second World War that are basically cracking open Germany. They're there to like crack because the Allies have got to Germany and now the Americans are coming with their air force to like try and end the war.
Yeah, I mean, maybe second. Sometimes when I watch something, I'm actually... I feel like sometimes the first episode, if I'm a bit like, if I really push and do 2 and 3, it resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably will go back in and just like give it another go.
You didn't but enjoy this.
It was slow.
From minute 5, I could feel when you love somebody and you share a bed with them, I think you like can pick up on their, at the risk of sounding like a hippie, their aura, like when... You're doing something together. You can feel it, and I could feel like right now I can feel the same thing that Kelly was frustrated and annoyed watching this show, really disappointing because it was the first thing in ages that I was really, really fucking liking.
I was surprised you liked it because I felt like it just took forever for something to happen. But it also was corny. It was stupid corny. Fucking Saltburn was in it. And he had this terrible fucking...
That's Barry Keogh.
Yeah, he had this terrible fucking accent, like...
he's doing like a Long Island Bronx accent. Like,
we're gonna kill those fucking Nazis. Boy.
I don't think it was like that. It sounded like a comedy Bang Bang character where it was like, hey, I'm cake boss over here.
Hey, so, I like the cum water. Oh.
He was kind of doing this weird like Italian.
Dumb.
I assume his thought process was, or maybe the character is like from that, you know, from like, what do you think it was like Long Island, Bronx? It was sort of like,
Was a bit New York.
Jersey sort of thing. I know all three of those accents are kind of completely different.
We're going to kill those Nazis. That's what we're going to do, okay?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. Yeah, he sounded like Mike Myers' like Jewish mum character from SNL.
I just thought, and Austin Butler, who I really loved,
he's amazing in this. He's great.
He was just as corny.
No.
Corny.
No, I completely disagree.
I don't know about that. Maybe I'll have some eggs. Maybe I'll have a coffee. Ooh. Oh, well, get eggs like this in the sky. Oh,
that's not, none of that happened.
It's boring.
It's not boring. It's really evenly paced. And I enjoyed that because the show, I think like 10 minutes in, the show is saying to you like, hey man, this is the pace this show is going to be at. I will say this show, very much like Band of Brothers, is middle-aged man porn. They are constantly like, all the heroes are male. it's about the Second World War. This is all about the Air Force. So there's like heaps of plane talk. There's heaps of shots of like guys setting up the planes and starting the engines and stuff. It's all stuff that really resonates to you, like the 5-year-old in you. You know what I mean? It's like cool planes. I just thought, like, I will say, here are my criticisms. The dialogue is corny. There's a lot of like people writing dialogue to what they think people spoke like in the 1940s.
There's dialogue that is kind of like, there's this like hero complex. And yeah, they're heroes, whatever. You know, they did.
Hero complex? They are. What are you talking about?
That's, there is just something about the people writing it were like, this is what heroes would say in the moment. Well, I guess we're going to go out there, and if we don't come back, we did it for our country. It's like that kind of – it's just fake. It's just fake.
Well, no one at any point said that in the show. But I understand what you're saying, that there is a lot of like – but the bravado – like in the first half of the show, because it's all leading up to – because very early on in the show, the major, who's Austin Butler's best friend he already goes across to Norway and has gone up. And then when he comes back down and he's talking to the colonel, the major says, why didn't you tell me how bad it is up there? And the colonel was like, well, you've seen it for yourself now. And then the exact same conversation is had with Austin Butler after they go up the first time, which is an amazing scene. But all of that dialogue that you're talking about is the bravado of the Air Force before they get there. And before they go into battle.
Yeah.
So I think that's a purposeful sort of thing of like, because they weren't talking like that after the first time they went up and got.
I don't know. If you want to know about being in airplanes in World War II, just read Going Solo by Ronald Dahl, because it's a real good first-hand account of like what it was like and, you know, things happening and hiding and getting shot down and. I don't know, I really like it. This stuff here, I feel like I've seen this kind of stuff. There's nothing new about the story they can tell me, so I just find it hard to get into it because I feel like I know so much about World War II that, right, it's just like I like stuff about Everest. I like stuff about volcanoes. World War II stuff doesn't interest me. I feel like I've seen it all. But anyway, that's okay.
I understand I can understand what Kelly's saying, because there is like a minutia to, like, there is so much finite detail in almost everything in this show that I could, if you're not interested in the topic, then you would drift away a little bit. But for, to me, it was infinitely fascinating. And even though there is a bit of CGI, especially in the air battle scene, they've spent money on this show. Mm. It looks amazing. Like, it's shot beautifully. The sets are spectacular. The cast is huge. And as much as I didn't like Barry Keoghan and Saltburn, so far he hasn't annoyed me the same way he's annoying Kelly. Although he does have a face that just, like, when his face shows up on screen, it's like, I want to punch that little face so hard.
Mm. I really don't dislike him in this
movie.
For
me personally, like, the initial stuff, and they're just setting up the character, like, the first 15-20 minutes was just setting up the characters. So, like, you've got to do that. You can't just, like, go straight into, like, here's these people in Norway, because you need to care about them. And they did that, and they did it well. But now that they're in Norway and going across to Germany to have these battles and stuff, the second half of this episode, I was riveted. Like, from the minute that they were going up into battle, and then, like, to get some sort of an idea of having two great uncles who did this in that war, and, like, for me was absolutely fascinating to see, like, how fucking scary it would have been and how terrifying. Like, 15 planes go up, 3 get shot out of the air straight away, and they don't even get to bomb the target that they want to, because the colonel that they have is a little bit off kilter, or could be a spy, maybe. That seemed to be what was being insinuated. I'm not usually a guy who loves the Second World War. I'm not a Dennis Leary guy, you know what I mean, where I love porno and books about war. But this show, I don't know, I just, maybe I was in the right mood for it at the time. I really, really like Austin Butler. So yeah, it was shot well. The sound design was brilliant. The sets are brilliant. Austin Butler, I think, carries the show really well. Barry Keoghan is
the worst.
Annoying. Yeah, I can put up with him to watch the rest of the show. I'm going to commit to watching the rest of the show.
Right. I'm going to give it...
What are you rolling your eyes around for and you rolling your head around for?
Because I'm annoyed about this show. Am I not allowed to be annoyed about a show we watched?
Well, you can, but it's hard. It's difficult to concentrate when you're like...
Bad luck, because I was, like, reading more about
this
fucking...
You're being exercised.
I was reading more about this show and it made me more angry. So I'm giving it 1 star because this fucking show is a nepo show. All the actors in it have famous actors. One of the guys in it, one of the main guys, father, Steven Spielberg. Yeah, that one. You don't know who he is. He's a director. Another one, fucking Jude Law's son.
Okay.
Like, well, you're looking at the cast, everyone is the son of a famous actor. And I just go... And it's just like, oh, you just got cast because of, like, oh, fuck you. 1 star. One grump, buddy. Take that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Well, I'm giving it 4.
Really? Grumps. I think you're giving it 4 just to spite me.
No.
I hated it so much.
I enjoyed it. Right. It's the first thing I've enjoyed basically since we started the fucking podcast.
Oh, shit. You've enjoyed heaps of rubbish.
There's been like 4 things that I've liked. All right. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I think if you're in for a slow burn, this is a show for you. If you like war stuff, if you like Band of Brothers, you should watch this. It's Band of Brothers, but in the air. Really good. Austin Butler is great. Can't wait to see him do more stuff. Let's talk about your shitty show.
True Detective, season 4.
Mm-hmm.
So far, no nepo. But
Just a Mel Gibson apologist.
Yeah, right. I said, blow me in the jacuzzi.
Blow me.
You gotta suck my dick. If you don't, if you were wondering what that is, that is the recordings that his ex-wife made of him over the phone when he was, I think he blamed alcoholism, maybe.
You make me so mad.
Yeah. Just have a goog. Have a goog, if you like, about Mel Gibson.
Why
recorded.
Won't you blow
he literally
me?
Says to his wife, why don't you blow me? Like, he's so mad at her that he's breathing like this. And the reason why he's mad is because he says, why didn't you blow me when we were in the jacuzzi?
Mm.
Like, this guy's got like 12 kids too. Like, yeah. He's a fucking sex addict. It's crazy. Anyway, Yeah. So I just want to watch it because he hates Jews and he's a Nazi apologist, whatever. Moving on.
And Jodie Foster apologizes for him and got him back into Hollywood. So.
Yeah. Well, I actually really like Jodie Foster. I really like watching her. There's something about her where I feel like I'm back watching like Silence of the Lambs because she's very – like watching her on screen, I feel like, this is like – it's like watching Michael Douglas or, you know, like Jane Fonda and stuff. Like it's like, well, this is Hollywood, baby. This is real Hollywood. I really like her, and I only watched the first season of True Detective. I never watched any of the others. The reason why I watched this is because someone said it's got more of a supernatural tone to it, which I kind of like. So this one's set in Alaska. So there's a lot of a like Native American kind of vibe happening. The second cop is now a Native American. So very small, cold town, Alaska. I actually feel like, again, like the other show, first episode, maybe moving on, it's going to get better, but just maybe a lot happened, but then not a lot. Like they set up a lot of stuff in this episode where I'm like, okay, I really don't know. It's that White Lotus thing where it's like they set up all this stuff in the first episode and then I'm sucked in because I want to see where all this stuff goes, but I don't think I'm going to get a big payoff. You know what I mean? Like they find a spoiler alert. So there's a crime where they found a woman's tongue somewhere and they're going to find the body. And then it ends with like two dead bodies in the snow. And they really do show cold very well. Like this is Alaska. It's cold. It's like it's dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, stuff like that. They did that very well, but I feel like there's just a lot. You've got the drunk guy over here. You got this one. This cop is now a trooper, not a cop. This one's a cop. There's just a lot going on, which is fine. But if you're going to have a lot going on, have a payoff.
Oh, I just thought this was so fucking dull and boring. And outside of my personal feelings for Jodie Foster, I don't think she was particularly good in it. Again, this is another show that like, hey, man, if the show's called True Detective and you want me to give a fuck about your two detectives, please give them something that's likable about them. They don't have to be squeaky, clean 50s heroes.
You don't think the black chick was likable?
Huh?
You don't think the chick with the face piercings was likable? I thought she was. She didn't do anything wrong. She was good. She caught the bad guy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, she's fine, but then, like, we've got all, like, her, you know, she's got this a shitty boyfriend and a sister. The show is unnecessarily depressing. And I think the tone, like, it feels like, oh, well, if we make the tone really dark and depressing, then it's like good. Dark and depressing equals good. It's the dumb Christopher Nolan fucking school of like, and then she died. The supernatural stuff comes across like Wayne's World 2 to me. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, there's the, you know, it's the mystic native, American helping it. I was bored. It was bad writing. I mean, it was shot okay. The cast are okay, but I'm just like, this isn't a story world I want to inhabit. I don't care about any of these people. Who gives a fuck? Like, the victims we don't get to know at all, so who cares? Just bored. I was just utterly. I wasn't like angry at it or like this is distastefully bad. It was just like this is boring and dull.
They just set up too much stuff, and it, which is funny because the other show was boring because it didn't set up enough. But then this one, they set up too much. Where I'm like, you know, like the woman that's outside, she's just like gutting a wolf, and then there's some guy staring at her. And she's like, Joe, what are you doing here? What do you want? And he's just standing there. And then you see him later standing there and then he starts dancing. I'm like, what is, like, why is everyone such a wanker? Just tell me a fucking story.
Yeah, just like, tell me the story.
But it kind of feels like, I'll keep on watching. I'll see how we go.
No.
Like, I don't know, but I don't know why I'm so like, ugh.
Because it's not written well and the tension, there's barely any tension in it and your protagonist,
I feel like there's
Jodie Foster, is super unlikable.
Yeah, but super, unlikable. Super you have a unlikable. With that. The I don't first have a
fucking thing she says is, I have a problem with the Beatles. It's like, oh, you're a fucking idiot.
That's why. 3 minutes in, she fucking said she hated the Beatles.
You're a fucking moron. So, like, how am I meant to get on board with you?
It's not Jodie Foster, it's the character.
I'm talking about the character.
Yeah, but you're saying that you hate Jodie Foster.
I don't like Jodie Foster either.
All right, well, you bring a lot of personal issues into this game.
Well, yeah, and the show sucks. Okay. So I don't know what you're saying. I don't like Jodie Foster and the show sucks. So one.
You don't like Jodie Foster. I really feel like the thing I did you. We should wrap up if that battery is about to die because we're going to lose this episode if we don't stop right
now.
We might, I reckon, just quickly stop. Hello, is it me you're looking for? Right, I mean, I don't know, True Detective season 4. I feel like once you're at to season 4, you better be fucking good or something. And then the one thing I do like about True Detective is that they do different people and characters every season. Kind of like X-Files episodes. But I like that element to it where you can watch it and it's or like Twilight Zone, you know what I mean? Like it's never the same people. But it just, there's a lot going on for the first episode that even for my ADD, I was like, oh, this, oh, that. Oh, okay, there's this, there's that. I'm already disappointed because I don't think it's going to have a good payoff.
No.
Like that guy in the ice, like standing in the darkness, dancing and staring and stuff, whoever that weirdo is,
it's the same guy who showed her, it's like a family member of hers, ghosts, who keeps showing up and showing her where all this stuff is happening.
Yeah, just...
That's why I said it's like Wayne's World 2. It's like I'm expecting to see fucking Jim Morrison come up over the...
You have to put on a concert.
Wayne, you have to put on a concert.
Put on a concert.
Do you think that guy or Val Kilmer did a better Jim Morrison? They both came out around the same time.
They're both pretty good, man. They're both pretty good.
Who's the old lady? That's my old lady.
That's my old lady. I mean, we could just watch Wayne's World. That would be better at this point, I think.
Fuck, dude.
I think we should just have a podcast where we rewatch things that are the best. And that's it. Anyway.
No, no one wants that. People want to hear whether things are good or not. Because everyone knows Wayne's World 2 is the greatest film ever made. Yes, I'm harsh towards Jodie Foster. But even outside of that, this is a... Especially when you're competing with that first season of True Detective. Within 10 minutes, I'm like, well, this is shit. This is... It's just like... Why, if there's some sort of mystical force killing, and this is what I'm talking about with editing. Again, this should be a film, not a fucking 10 or 12 episode TV series. Like, if there's some sort of mystical force going around killing whole, like a whole group of scientists on a remote base, why do I give a fuck about Jodie Foster's husband or son or who the fucking Alaskan Native American police officer is fucking? I don't care about any of that. None of that matters. Imagine if someone was like, started their story by going, hey, did you hear about the 12 scientists who got killed by some sort of mythical beast? No, what happened? Well, there was this police officer. She still works with her ex-husband and her son also works on the I don't care. Who cares? Don't tell me. I don't give a fuck about that. Tell me about the fucking thing. But they've got to spread it out over 12 episodes, right? So now we have to fucking know about Jodie Foster's fucking where she went to college and who her best friend in high school was and fucking no one cares. And there is this epidemic with writers, like especially film and TV writers, where they think that's being a good writer by fleshing out the character. It's not. It's not. Right? Do we, like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, what do you know about Indiana Jones? Outside of the fact that he works at a college and he's got a couple of mates who work at the college.
His dad's a bit of a dickhead to him sometimes.
You don't know that until the third film. You don't even really know anything about him and Marion, right? Like, they've got history together and they barely talk of it. All you know is that Indy did shit to piss her off.
He fucking did shit, mate.
Right? Like, which was probably he fucked off to go on an adventure and left her by herself. But we don't even know that. And you don't need to. Because the story is what's important.
This was filmed in Iceland. Iceland and some areas of Alaska. Cold, right?
Yeah. Cold. I mean, that's the only thing they get right.
They really
do. Set on location and it looks fucking cold.
It looks cold. And I feel I respect when people, like, can actually do that well. Like, make it look hot, make it look cold and that kind of stuff. Like, even if it weren't or whatever. I mean...
It's disappointing because, you know, this...
apparently Christopher Eccleston's in it, past Doctor Who.
Yeah, I like Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah, and the other chick that's in it that I really like, Fiona Shaw, she's done heaps of stuff. Fiona Shaw, she was in... what's that fucking show about the bloody assassin? Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Oh, it's right there. Killing Eve.
Right.
Yeah, and Fleabag. My Left Foot. Mate, this chick is Harry Potter. She's a fucking... She's been a heap of stuff. There's something about her which I like.
Hmm.
But I really like Jodie Foster. And the other chick was an ex-boxer. But I don't like people when they put earrings in their cheeks. It looks weird. She's got cheek earrings.
That
it's
was
weird.
The least of my problems with this show. I just...
You hated it because it was boring.
The script is shit and self-indulgent. I guarantee if I watched the whole thing, you could cut it down by two-thirds.
Mm.
Just like the story, like we go off into... just like even the scene where the son goes to get the fucking... files off his dad because the dad's been hoarding police files or whatever, and I'm sure it's probably got something to do with some trauma or he's the bad guy or some shit. Who gives a fuck? Who cares?
Yeah, I tell you what, I do actually really like the supernatural element. I kind of like weird stuff like that.
Yeah, you like the Wayne's World 2 element?
Oh, sorry, I just had to do a big yawn. Yeah, I do. Oh.
Did he say anything about your football phone?
If you love my body and you think I'm sexy. I'm just going to mark my assumption.
Yeah, True Detective, Wayne's World 2.
How many grumps?
One.
One. I might do 2.5.
So fucking bored,
I might do 2.5
man.
Because I'll see how 2 and 3 go. Like, if episodes 2 and 3 are still shit house, I'll get rid of it. But like, Mindhunters. When I watched the first episode, I found it really hard to get into. And then once I kind of beat it and was able to do 2 and 3, I was like, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen.
I think they try and leave you on a hook of like finding the dead bodies in the ice or whatever. And they're all like screaming, obviously, and they've been frozen.
That does actually make me, that's one half star.
But I was so bored. Like, it's like even the writing's so bad that they don't understand that like they've got to do enough to keep you interested to get to that cliffhanger.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, well, fuck, you know, like Breaking Bad, Gillian Jacobs, who wrote that show, like people talk about him being a master of like the cliffhanger and getting to come back to the next episode because it would be quiet and slow in Breaking Bad a lot of the time. But there was still just enough little bits and pieces to keep you interested to get to that cliffhanger.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then like when you collated it over a series, you were like, oh, fuck, a fuckload's happened.
Mm.
And the stuff that was happening would give you more about the characters that that you gave a fuck about. But that first episode of Breaking Bad is all about Walt ending up, like it starts with Walt out the front of a camper van with no fucking pants on, holding a gun, right?
Mm.
And that's enough for you to go, fuck, what the fuck's happening here? And so you buy the ticket to take the ride.
Yeah.
There's nothing here that makes me want to buy a ticket. Like, there was nothing that made me want to buy a ticket at the beginning of the episode, and there's definitely nothing in the episode that makes me want to
stay on the ride. So I feel the same way about the other show, but it's interesting where our, like, you know, you're someone, you know, you've got grandparents who fought in the war. You like war stuff. I like weird supernatural stuff. It's just I really feel like it's
I had family members who fought in the war. Your great grandmother was a ghost. we've got family connections,
you know,
to these stories.
I think it's just a matter of, like, I feel like this could actually just be a thing of matter of taste, because I do think that people would really like your show, and I've heard really good things about True Detective 4, but I'll watch another one or two episodes to see if, you know, what's going on. But
I can guarantee you, I won't watch one more second of True Detective.
Well, I won't watch one
that
more
is
of
a
your shoot.
Damien guarantee.
I'm not gonna watch another episode of a bunch of American pilots getting up there and killing some fucking Nazis.
I'm always up for watching Nazis get killed.
All right, we gotta go.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
We love everybody. Thank you for listening. Thanks for listening.
There's more people in New Zealand listening, so
yeah,
that's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. It must have been when we talked about what we do in the shadows, because it's got a bit of a New Zealand bit to it.
Okay.
I don't know. Even though it was set in Staten Island.
And we've lost all our New Zealand.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, and younger people. I've been checking out the breakdown of our audience.
Hello, young hipster people.
Hello, young people. Hello.
Look at the young folks showing their ankles.
Welcome to the internet. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling people. The figures keep going up. We got the CPAC bump, so we appreciate that, Seals, if you're listening. And yeah,
you're right. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to go. Love you guys. Love you.
Okay. All right.
And
I love you.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
I love you. Goodbye.